Previously on Two Jews and a Gay.
I thought we could go a whole episode without finding this out. Yeah, I got engaged.
And with that said, Spencer will be in debt for a long, long time to come.
I just told my parents, I'm like, I really need you guys to step up your game tonight. All of a sudden, my dad's the first one to go. He's like, Spencer, there's not enough room for 12 people at this table. It's too tight. It's too tight. And then my mom goes, I have to get up. I have to get up. I can't sit in the booth. Surely Todd can save all this. I look over. Todd's on the end of the table, just staring off. I'm reluctant to say this because ask why Brian doesn't have any friends his own age. Brian's heart just went out.
It's ridiculous that he would even make that comment. It's actually fairly ageist. Claire Ripstein, welcome to the podcast. Because you're kind of a sexually direct woman.
Women may look at me and say, wow, she's lucky that she physically knows what she wants and knows how to get it, even with somebody she's not emotionally attracted to.
And what about the smallest?
Micro dick.
Micro dick.
Micro dick.
We're getting ready to start the podcast. We're getting ready to start the podcast. Live, pre-recorded for your early convenience, The Todd Show. Two idiots, one gay, and a Todd. Two idiots, one gay, and a Todd. And now, your host, Todd.
Welcome to, I guess, Two Jews and a Gay, although after that intro, maybe Todd's been taking over the podcast. I am, I think, still your host, Brian Martinson, along with Jeremy Katz.
Now that Spencer's engaged, do you think women find him more attractive?
No. And, of course, Spencer Yasmin.
What about guys?
Absolutely. Joel.
I'll take it.
Joel himself has been just, like, staring out aimlessly outside his window.
He has been, you know, he's been hitting me up a lot more online, and
really?
He even gave me an engagement gift. So I see the generosity.
The
there
rumor
from that
is
guy.
It is a self-made dildo. Or...
I will not deny it. I will not say it is. All I can say is Corey will not be able to see this gift. She will not be writing a letter.
It'll be buried
thanking.
In your ass.
She will not be thanking Joel for the gift.
But you will be.
I will just be crying at night from what he sent me.
That brings up a good question, Spencer. Should I have gotten you an engagement gift?
Yeah, you're the only person that hasn't so far.
Oh,
very
boy.
Disrespectful. Okay. You're out!
I'm
you're
out!
Out!
Just like that?
You're
damn
out.
It.
You're out. Lauren, not in still. Todd, not going to happen, bud.
It is the week after Passover,
mm-hmm.
And Spencer, how was your Passover?
Well, it's still going on, actually, to be fair.
Well,
the day we're
the
taping this.
After the Seder, I should say.
To be fair, I'm feeling weak. I've been good. Haven't had any carbs. Eaten a lot of fruit. But Passover,
wait, carbs
you
have
know.
Fruit.
What's that?
Fruit has carbs.
Okay, well, I haven't had bread. Is that what you want me to say?
Okay, that's better. You're like, I haven't had any carbohydrates. Well, there
Brian,
are
Brian, he looks amazing
carbohydrates
right now.
In fruit.
Oh, Spencer looks amazing right now.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, it's been tough. Every year it gets a little tougher. This year was a little bit more challenging because I was like the center of attention with Corey, with like 40 people at her.
That's not true.
At her cousin's.
You were the Corey was the center of attention. You
well,
were just
kind of
like
but
ancillary.
Everyone's like, oh, tell us about the engagement. And, you know, everyone's really nice, but,
but they were
like
asking
not.
Corey to tell them about the engagement because they don't.
No,
want to
but
hear
then
you
they
talk.
Want to know. They want to know, like, oh, Spencer, how'd you go about getting this ring and everything? I'm like, you
should
really think I have
this
artistic capability? Come on, now. I mean,
you should have told them to listen to the podcast. We covered what happened at the engagement on the podcast.
Well, actually, one of her cousins did say he's going to start listening that night. So as I was leaving the house, I gave him the link, pressed the button for him, and I was out of there because I did not want her father or any of her uncles or whatnot to hear about Corey being hogtied and,
never.
You know, Jeremy's porn collection, any of this stuff. You know, Brian, what Brian does and these balls could talk. I didn't want to take any chances.
Jeremy, you and I had a Seder dinner together, second night of the Seder, over at our good friend Liz's. Liz, who will be a guest in an upcoming episode of the podcast.
And Spencer, Brian read a little bit of the prayers. You know, he was a good little Jew. Has a little kippah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Huh.
My,
so Brian, you were
my Hebrew is a little rusty. So
well, Spencer
and Brian,
you sound a little. You feel like that's not the truth.
Well, I'm just wondering, Brian, you behave yourself at Passover?
I absolutely behave myself. I unlike some other people at the Seder. Okay, so it's a potluck Seder. Everyone's bringing different kinds of food. Some are bringing desserts. Some are bringing wine. There's two standout issues that need to be addressed.
Yes.
First, David Ruckman. David Ruckman on the Facebook post says he, quote, has the wine covered.
Okay.
When you hear... Spencer, when you hear that he has the wine covered or someone has the wine covered, what do you think is a realistic expectation for how much wine that person's going to bring?
How many people are we talking about?
There's 20 people, and he knows there are 20 people because that's how many people have RSVP'd.
So if he's getting all the wine for everybody, he's got to get like, you know, 5-6 bottles just for everyone to, you know.
And when you hear the phrase, got the wine covered, you think that means he has the wine covered for the entire meal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so.
He brings one goddamn bottle of wine.
Oh. Don't tell me it was Manischewitz either.
It was not. But, like, that's covering the wine? Like, is it supposed to be some sort of Jewish miracle that it's a bottomless bottle of wine that just never ends?
Okay, so what's your second issue?
Second issue, our good friend June, a non-Jew, like myself.
July? Wait, you said July?
June.
Oh, sorry. Okay, go on.
She also brings some food to the Passover Seder. Mm-hmm. She brings frittatas, which are delicious.
Ooh, sounds tasty.
But she mentions that they just happen to have bacon in them. Who brings something with bacon into a Jewish
high holiday
dinner?
Did all the Jews start catching on fire and burning?
They started hissing.
No, some
at
of them actually ate it. I was mortified. And I made the twice-baked potatoes, a recipe which, by the way, called for bacon. But I'm like, no. I'm not going to do this because it's inappropriate. It is absolutely inappropriate to bring a bacon-lardened dish to a Passover Seder.
And what's
so
great,
you put pork on it, right? Shred pork?
And Spencer, Brian then goes, oh, everybody, I'm sorry. I forgot the ham in my car. They got a big laugh.
But did June catch on to that little joke, that little
She did not
yours?
Like it. Yeah, she got a little upset.
Oh. So, Brian, it sounds like you behaved yourself.
I absolutely behaved myself.
Well,
oh, and and Joel, friend of the podcast, Joel is also at the Seder. Mm-hmm. And he,
is that the story? Or
No, I just there? Mentioned that because, you know, he constantly was mentioning you and how he misses the rapport, and he feels that since you've been engaged, you feel a little more distant.
Aww.
But it oddly makes him just want you more.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Well, but Brian, I mean, are you sure you're telling me everything that really happened at the Seder? Like, I get that all these other people were irrational, but are you telling me you behaved yourself, you didn't act out of character and just, you know, make a fool of yourself in any way?
Not anything more than usual.
Well, I hate to do this, but I have found some artifacts. I don't know the time period because we're not able to date it, but... There is some documentation that suggests
not that old.
Somewhere.
You don't need to carbon date anything that pertains to me.
Well, my friend Jeremy from Orlando thinks differently, but that's a different story. But anyway, there's some lineage in the Brian Martinson family line that sounds awfully a lot. It sounds very similar to how you act. And Jeremy, maybe I showed you the tape earlier that I found. Maybe you can play this for Brian to see if there's any relation. Let the audience determine if this all sounds like. Are gay on the podcast, or one Brian.
Audience, let's listen.
And now, the untold Passover story. The abrasive and awkward atheist gay. What happens when you invite a gay atheist to a Passover Seder? Well, sadly, that portion of the Torah has been missing for thousands of years. We were able to find a small excerpt, however, as told through the eyes of a nomadic journeyman, a one Jeremiah Katzenmoyer. To begin, Liz opens the door to find one Jew, two Jew, three Jews, all arriving together. Oh, what a glorious Pesach this will be. As she closes the door, a foot blocks the complete closure from happening.
Liz, you always need to give an extra 3-second peep once the last person comes through the door to make sure there's no fairies flying in. No pun intended.
Liz rolls her eyes sarcastically at the overly gay-charged comment Brian makes. She has come to expect this from each of his introductions to every new get-together.
Who's ready to smoke some sausage? Pun fully intended. Jeez, I'm sweating like a whore in church.
A roar comes from the children's table. Brian approaches the dinner table and picks up the shank bone.
I feel like I'm looking at Grindr.
Howls now come from the children's table. Jeremiah quickly summons the children and responds to Brian's behavior.
Brian, this is Passover. It's a serious holiday for the Jews. And it's also a great opportunity for me to try to land that slightly unattractive girl at 3 o'clock. So please don't embarrass me tonight.
Oh, honey, you're reaching. I wouldn't turn my key for that. Why don't you grab that slimy sponge on the table, meet me and Joel in the bathroom, and we'll show you Moses separating the Red Sea is nothing compared to what you can split on the human anatomy.
That sponge you're referring to is gefilte fish. Quite tasty, in fact. I may grab a piece myself. Just lock it up tonight.
Unfortunately for Jeremiah, Brian would do no such thing. First, there was the blessing over the wine.
Manischewitz, Liz, be a dear and make me a potent glass of sangria with extra brandy. And hold the fruit.
Then, the tasting of the bitter herbs.
Why are the bitter herbs so bitter? Quick, give me limoncello, stat.
Followed by the reading of the 10 plagues.
You got another thing coming if you think I'm sticking my finger in the wine glass. Do you know where these hands have been? Well, do you?
Later, his characterization of the four children.
Oh, I know what I would teach to the quiet and simple child, with the ignorant and wise given play-by-play commentary.
Which ultimately led to Brian's first crack at eating matzah.
No, no, no. This is just awful. Dick tastes better, and less risk for constipation.
As the years go forth, the fragment tale still holds its symbolic message. Don't invite gays to Passover Seder. While someday I will tell my children the readings of the Torah centered around what Moses did for the Hebrews as a messenger of God and how heroic he acted, I will always make sure to leave room for the untold Passover story of the abrasive and awkward atheist gay. You know, in case any of my children ever are thinking of swinging that way, or worse, becoming friends with any of them.
All right, guys.
Hey, the tape doesn't lie.
That was bad behavior, Brian.
That was as bad of an impression as me as the Morgan Freeman impression last episode.
Wait a minute. Episodes ago. No one is saying that's you, Brian. They're saying it's someone from your lineage, from your family heritage. So it sounds a lot like you.
It does not sound.
We don't know what year it is, but it sounds a lot like you.
Southern damsel in distress kind of motif that this alleged gay, although let's be honest, it was Joel doing the impression. He's certifiably gay. but seriously, it's like, am I supposed to have the vapors next? And it was a very Southern gay.
Well, Jeremy, here's what I do know. I know that Jeremiah guy sounded a lot like you, so maybe there's someone in your lineage too that from a prehistoric time. But I think that person definitely sounded like Brian, and the way the person acted was very Brian-esque.
Yeah, Brian, you do like limoncello, and you like Grindr.
I do not like limoncello. That's Mr. December who guzzled down a vat of limoncello.
It's not all he guzzled down that night, is it?
Whoa. Although I have to give you guys credit, that was hilariously stupid. So, well done.
Brian, I hope for next Passover you behave yourself, or else, who knows, there might be other footage that comes, gets mailed to us.
And the question is, Brian, the question is, what tastes better, dick or matzah?
I would say, honestly, I did not mind the matzah. It was oniony. It was delicious. And then Mikey's matzah lasagna was great. That was one of the highlights of the meal. So, all right, I guess we're moving on from that pre-recorded segment over to. I honestly, I'm a little flummoxed. I'll be perfectly honest. We are moving on to a new segment that Jeremy and Spencer are very excited about. And like many of the segments that Jeremy and Spencer are excited about, I am very, very indifferent to the point of almost being hostile towards. As anyone who listens to the podcast knows, Jeremy and Spencer are devout followers and not quite practitioners of an ancient medieval religion almost called professional wrestling.
It's wrestling.
It's not fake.
They believe, most likely inaccurately, that the listeners of this podcast are going to be interested in a 10 to 15 minute weekly segment about the intricacies of professional wrestling. So, I am being the bigger man, as I often have to be as the third member of this podcast, I've decided to humor them and give this segment a try. I'm going to ring the bell when I've had too much, and we'll move on to the next segment. So with that in mind, Jeremy and Spencer, take it away.
The Wrestling Roundup with Spencer Yasmin and Jeremy Kotz.
They have requested that I ask this question to start off their discussion. Is the current feud for the tag team belts between Team Hell Knows Daniel Bryan and the Big Red Monster Kane versus the challengers of Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston worthy of a spot at WrestleMania?
Spencer, Dolph Ziggler is the most underrated professional wrestler since Ricky the Dragon Steamboat in 1982.
Says who? I mean, he's got way too many angles going on this past year. He has a girlfriend. He has a bodyguard.
I'm sorry. That's just too much. It was... I lasted about 10 seconds, which is about twice as long as Spencer normally does. And we got to move on. And our next segment is Inside the Mind of Spencer with Spencer Yasmin.
Spitting in the toilet is disgusting. What if you miss? So I'm being dumped for a pencil and paper? Why can't you be more like Todd?
Is that a gray pube?
Yes, I'll have another milkshake.
What's on my nose?
Why do you have me sitting with strangers at my own brother's wedding?
My back!
I hate salmon croquettes.
Why can't you be more like Todd?
I hate chicken cacciatore.
Nice try, Cheryl.
Cottage cheese not sitting right.
Is that an ingrown toenail?
Inside the mind of Spencer Yasmin.
Spencer, this is a new segment, so why don't you introduce it for us?
Right, right. Well, thank you, Brian. The way I look at this is I'm going to start discussing every once in a while just things that are on my mind, and I just want to kind of get your thoughts, the two of you, if this is things that you guys ever think about, or am I just crazy and that I have this weird, unique world that I'm just outrageous to even bring up such topics. So the first topic I want to talk about this week is public restroom etiquette. I want you guys to be honest with me. Am I crazy, or has this ever crossed your mind? So you're sitting in a public restroom, and you know you start to go to the bathroom. To me, the minute you begin to have a bowel movement, you should start flushing, okay? Because it just stinks up the entire place. I walk into these public restrooms, and the place is just reeking. There's like two guys in there, and the place just smells awful. And I think it would be so easy to eliminate this issue if you just constantly flushed. Every time, even if it's one drop, two drop, just keep flushing. What do you guys think about that?
Well, they call it the courtesy flush. Yeah. I mean, there's already a name for it.
Yeah,
but not enough people are courteous, in my opinion.
You're absolutely right. They should be. I mean, I think you're absolutely right that, you know, there are a lot of people who can really wreck a bathroom, as friend of the podcast Amy has mentioned in the past. I agree. You should be kind of constantly keeping the bowl clean for the next deposit you're going to make.
I wreck a bathroom, and I don't do a courtesy flush, so.
You don't. So you just sit there. You'll sit there for like 20 minutes on your phone.
Yes.
Doing whatever you do with that phone.
Well, that's because Jeremy loves the smell of his own shit.
You don't even start, like, when you walk in, you don't think, man, if that other person would have just flushed once.
Well, I'll tell you the reason why I don't do the courtesy flush is some toilets have a very high power flush, and I don't want that shit water touching my balls. I mean, it's a little personal.
Oh, I stand up for a second when that happens. I get up, flush, sit back down.
But doesn't the little sheet guard fall into the toilet, though?
Oh, no, you got to hold it. You got to hold it for a second. If it does, you get another sheet out, though.
Have you ever had a situation where a little dropped on the floor when you stood up?
Not that I know of, but come to think of it, I never even check afterwards. That's a good point. So anyway, the next public restroom etiquette thing I've always thought about, it's always on my mind,
yes.
And it may just because I'm like a clean freak is, and just like I'm neurotic, is I avoid bowel movements when another person enters the bathroom, okay? If I know they're going just to, you know, go to urinate or whatever, and I'm like, I'm in severe stomach pain, for some reason, I try to just stop everything I'm doing for a second just so they can go and leave. Now, I'm not talking about someone that's already been in there, but I'm talking about someone that just comes in for a minute and goes. I just don't – because, like, if I'm in an office, let's say, of only 10 people, and they go back to the cubicles and they don't see me there, they know it's me. So I feel like they're going to know it's me that lit out that horrific sound.
Well, Spencer, first of all, I understand. It's, you know, I go in stealth as well sometimes where it's like, oh, you know, you don't want to be just letting it all hang out, so to speak. I get that. You're not wrong again, but also I think
thank
you,
God.
You should probably be given the book that your mom may have read to you when you were, you know, two or three, called Everybody Poops. Because it, you know, we're all embarrassed by these functions, but we all do them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, next time I think it'd be healthy for you, Spencer, from both an emotional standpoint, a psychological standpoint, as well as a physiological standpoint, to just let the shit go. Just let it go. Don't care who's walks in on you. Just let it go. And maybe your constipation issues will start to diminish. Maybe you're too bound up and tied up in the etiquette of going to the bathroom that you've forgotten how to actually go to the bathroom.
I can promise you Spencer's mom never read him that book.
Yeah, and I'm glad you both brought that up, actually, because I think you may have hit on something that I never even thought about is maybe it's parenting issues I had, because I didn't even learn how to ride a bike until I was in fourth grade. My dad used to sit on the couch and watch Silk Stockings. I used to ask him, hey, all the kids are out learning how to ride a bike. Can you please take me out? He's like, no, I have to watch this rerun one more time of Silk Stockings. You know, this is the episode where the two detectives fall in love. So I think that's the root of the cause here is I've been neurotic because of them. I wasn't allowed to walk on carpet with shoes.
Well,
you know,
absolutely. You're neurotic because of your parents.
They did a
job. I wasn't allowed to go on the pink couch. Jeremy and I used to get yelled at if we ever sat on the pink couch, you know. So you may have tapped into something, into my why I'm so neurotic. And for future episodes, maybe we'll dive a little deeper and find out, am I neurotic or is this what everyone thinks about?
That was Inside the Mind of Spencer, a truly vacuous place.
Hey, this is Joel Garcia from If These Balls Could Talk.
He began by slowly kissing my neck and unbuttoning my shirt.
And you're listening to Two Jews and a Gay.
Now is the time for the weekly rant. Jeremy, hit the music. It irritates me, it upsets me. Seriously, Spencer, go fuck yourself. My voice sounded like shit. Never before have I been so irritated with two people. Don't screw me like that. What's up with your fucking friend about my voice? Would you all shut the fuck up? I don't care. You guys made your bed. Don't let it happen again. Or else you might be part of the weekly rant. Today, we are recording on April 1st, April Fool's Day, and anyone who listened to the last weekly rant knows that I think Jeremy, Spencer, and I, we try to be students of comedy. And there are a few things that irritate me more, other than bad vocal impressions, than really, really lame April Fool's jokes. And, you know, obviously your friends are going to try to play little pranks. They're like, oh, we got engaged. And Spencer, you really are engaged, right? I just want to confirm.
Yes.
This isn't some sort of elaborate April Fool's joke.
Or they're pregnant,
or, you know, they got fired from a job, or, you know, one of my friends did a really stupid, like, a friend got her car broken into. That was really lame, but very in keeping with his sense of humor. So you kind of smirk at those, and you're like, okay, that's just your friends being dumb. But what I really find irritating and annoying are these big multinational corporations, or even worse, sports franchises, who try to think that they're really clever and like, oh, some controversial person just got traded to our team. Isn't that shocking? Or LeBron James is coming back to the Cavs. Isn't, you know, April Fools? And it reeks of desperation and sadness. And you think about something like YouTube, where YouTube's big practical joke for this year was that YouTube is shutting down for the next 10 years, because the whole idea of YouTube was that YouTube is just one big contest to see who had the best user-generated video of all time. And the big prize that this person wins is they get a $500 gift certificate or cash and an MP3 player. That's the joke. And you'll find out who wins in 2023. That's the joke. Aren't we all laughing? And there are some that are good. Like, you know, for example, if you ever go to ThinkGeek, which I go to from time to time, they have some really clever ideas. I think they had the Star Wars trench run, if anyone remembers episode 4, where like Luke is going through the Death Star. They have like a beanbag toss version of the trench run, which would be actually a lot of fun to buy. And some of these jokes actually get changed into real products. Or they had Jim Harbaugh on the 49ers. You could buy his like new line of Jim Harbaugh wear, which is basically black sweaters and tan khakis. That actually has some humor. But please, corporate America, don't try to think you're a comedy writer. God knows we don't think we're comedy writers. We don't try. So stop. Don't do it. We'll all be leave the comedy to the professionals. And that is the weekly rant.
Amen.
On to the next segment, we have Todd Yasbin, a former guest of the podcast, former guest host of the podcast while Jeremy was on vacation.
Was that guest host or gay host?
What was that?
Did you say guest host or gay host?
Well, jury's still out. I was not part of this interview. Spencer and Jeremy did what I'm sure is more than adequate work delving into the psychoses of Todd. So let's listen to this segment, part one of two.
October 4th, 2012. A day that we can't shake from our minds. No one knew what to expect when the guest host was spotted on the property. Expectations could not be defined. The masses were torn by what they were going to hear. Then, the first words were spoken. What followed will live in podcast infamy. And now, he's back.
What's up, guys?
Welcome. Long time no
hear.
Hell
of an intro.
yeah. That was a little song I wrote for you guys. I was thinking maybe you can change it to that starting your next episode.
It's got potential.
Todd has tried to get myself, Brian, and Spencer all kicked off at one point or another, so we appreciate it.
No, but as you saw in my song, I have a new plan, all four of us, but we're going to call it the Todd Show. Two idiots, a gay, and a Todd.
And a Todd, nice. We appreciate it.
But if you recall back when he originally told me about that, he said just two idiots and a Todd. So he's allowing Brian back in at least, which is nice of him.
Well, we need Brian to work the technology, so
true.
I figured we need him.
Very true.
All right, well, as mentioned before, you were our first guest host. And on that episode, you introduced our audience to your dating
role. Can I remind
us?
Jeremy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, please.
I'm sorry.
Please.
I know we're about to go in this segment. I have to interrupt. There's something that's been bothering me the last day, and this is – I haven't told any of you guys, but I got to confront Todd about this. Todd, on – I get LinkedIn updates that say, you know, when someone's got a new job or whatever. I got one about you that apparently you've added financial analysis as a skill on LinkedIn. Is that true?
I don't recall. I think someone else said I had – someone else did it for me. Like, they said Todd Yasmin is good at financial analysis.
I find that very hard to believe. So, you know, as a financial analyst, I'm a little insulted. It's like I don't go around saying I'm an energy broker. So if you don't mind, I thought maybe I'd ask you like a couple financial analysis questions since you claim that's your skill now. Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So
– whatever.
Financial question number one. I made $20,000 in revenue last month, $8,000 in fixed cost, and had $7,000 in variable cost. What is my OI?
That pen and paper, the calculator.
$5,000.
Oh, very good.
That's impressive.
And on top of that, what is my operating margin?
Your operating margin. You know, I'm going to answer the question, but I just want you to know, this textbook BS is just that. You know, I own my own company, and I do the taxes for the accounting. I do all the financial reports.
Why are you right? I mean, just answer the question. I mean, you are a that's one of your skills. I just want to know.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I might get it wrong, but it doesn't really mean that I can't answer it. But anyways, what's the question again?
What is your operating margin?
The operating margin, I'm just going to guess that it's going to be 5 divided by 20.25, 25%.
Oh, my God. Very good, Todd. Okay.
Very impressive.
Last question. You made $20,000 in revenue last month and $30,000 in revenue this month. What is your month-over-month revenue percentage increase?
50%. I mean, that's easy.
Okay, he's pretty good. I'll give him credit. He's good. Okay. Just checking. Maybe you do have financial analysis as a skill.
I might look dumb, but, you know. You know, I just got to say, I've been getting this recently a lot from people. Like, you know, they say, oh, what do you do? What do you do? And I tell them what I do, and they're like, oh, whatever. Like, you know, it's not easy owning your own business. You know, I haven't been employed since 2000 and whatever. Like,
Jeremy, make sure to play a violin when we play this part back. This is very dramatic. Okay, I apologize. Clearly, you do have financial analysis as a skill. I will even endorse you on LinkedIn now that I
heard
your answers. So,
do you feel the love?
Yes.
Do you feel the love?
And maybe I know this episode we're going to talk about picking up girls. And maybe next episode I'll come on and talk a little bit about the economy and some investments you guys should make.
That'd be great. Maybe you and Aaron could do one together. That'd be fantastic. Yeah.
I can see you guys competing for jobs now against each other.
Guy's an asshole. Don't hire him.
All right. Well, moving on. As I mentioned before, you were our very first guest host. And on that episode, you introduced our audience to your dating rule. Real quickly, can you remind us what that rule is?
Sure. The general rule is if you're a guy single and you're looking for a new girl to date, you should be looking for girls that are half your age plus 7. So if you're 30, you know, 22. 30 divided by 2 is 15 plus 7, 22.
And if you're a 12-year-old boy?
13-year-old girl.
Hottie.
So, Todd, you live in Austin, obviously. Tell us, what's the dating scene like over there?
Dating scene here is pretty awesome. I mean, Austin is considered a small town, but as you guys know, you know, University of Texas is here, which, you know, not just the undergrads, but you got a lot of grad students. You also have the other college, what's it called, St. Edwards. You know, there's just a lot of yikes. Young people, a lot of startup companies. I mean, it's a lot of young people good to go out. I mean, it's you know, it's like Vegas. Like, Vegas has a population, but there's always more people there because people are always visiting. So Austin always has, like, young people, and there's just plenty of places to go. You can go to clubs, bars, dance clubs, wherever, taverns.
You're a dance club guy, Todd? I mean, I know you do salsa dancing, but...
Yeah, classy dance. I mean, I've been to the... I mean, you know, I can't work my game at the techno clubs, but salsa clubs, yeah.
Now, why is that? Like, what's the obstacles there?
Music's too loud. I mean, I rely on my voice, and plus I suck at whatever techno... I mean, can you even techno dance? I don't even know how to do it.
Well, at those places, don't people like just to grind and stuff, or that's not really your thing?
That's not really my thing, no.
Okay. worried about an erection.
No,
right?
it's like you. I don't mind. I think it's cool to take a girl there. Like if you're, you know, it's like especially if you have dated a girl a couple times and like that's gonna be the night with your first night you're gonna sleep together. I think that's could be a little, really fun. You know, you get a little drunk, you go there, you get really close, hot and sweaty. I don't like that. I personally don't like. I mean, I think a lot of girls would say this, and a lot of guys might think that I'm like gay for saying this, but I don't like the idea of getting all up and close with a strange girl. Like, you barely see. I mean, you know, everyone looks hot when the lights are off.
Yeah, true.
And
that's kind of romantic, actually, Todd.
Yes.
You're maturing.
And, you know, for me, I mean, me personally, that's why I was asking. I would be worried about getting an erection on the dance floor. That would be a big concern.
And let me ask you this, Todd. You're dancing with a girl, you're grinding, you have an erection. How do you hide it?
You don't. You don't have to hide it. That's the whole point.
Feel it.
You just have a boner sticking out. Let's, you know, I mean, it's just like, and like you wear those really tight jeans too, so it's like there's like a lump on the side of your pants. You're fine with that.
I don't think they want you to hide it. I think I've had girls walk away because I didn't have one. And back in my Vegas days, I used to go to those clubs a lot, more than I wanted to do, at least.
That's a lot of erections.
Say hi to Charles real fast. Say hi, Charles.
Yeah, boy.
All right, Todd, I got to ask you. So how is the dating scene going for you currently?
Well, as you guys know, my ex-girlfriend and I, we broke up. And since then, I really have not been dating that much. I've been focused more on work. I went out last weekend for the first time in a while just to really go out and try to talk to some girls. There is one old fling I've been talking to, and I'm going to go see her. She lives out of town, which has been good for me because I reconnected with an old fling and gives me a few weeks to kind of get over completely the ex, and I'll go out there for a nice weekend and no strings attached type of thing. And
I was gonna say, are you worried that you're gonna fly over there and she's gonna be having listened to this podcast?
Well, I was just about to say, if you put this on Facebook, don't tag me, please. I mean, you can say Todd's in it because obviously,
sure, of course,
on the ratings, you want the ratings, but yeah, don't tag me because she's been, okay. She'll see it, she'll listen.
Okay,
well, she's been looking at your profile page.
I mean, I think you can tell. There's a lot of debate whether you can tell or not, but I think when you go to your homepage and you see the pictures, I think, you know, those are the people that have been looking at you, or at least half of them are. I don't know.
Editor's note, we asked our friend who works at Facebook, and this couldn't be further from the truth. All right, now you consider yourself a student of the art of the pickup line. Tell our audience how you execute the perfect pickup line.
That's a very open-ended question. First of all, you know, the whole idea of the pickup line, it's not, you know, obviously I get made fun of a lot for being such an expert. I know, and I want to point out that you don't have to be a great player to be a great coach. I really see myself more as a Bill Parcells and Pat Riley than.
Well, you know, Dan Rosenbaum, fan of the podcast, followed your footsteps last episode.
Well, yeah, that is actually why I'm back. I heard, if there's one thing I want is for one person to get a phone number, a date, have sex, whatever. I mean, if it's because of me, that's great. So, anyways,
I believe he said he got a pretty decent blowjob out of it.
Oh, many mazels to him.
So, I'm happy for that, and now maybe someone else will listen. Maybe one of the naysayers will be like, "This guy knows what he's talking about." So yeah, it's not. Look, the lines are important, but what's more important, which is kind of cliche to say, but it's so true, is how it's not what you say, it's how you say it, and that, you know. Okay, so to answer your very general question, you got to start with the image. You got to go in cocky, confident, head up, chest out, full of energy, ready to talk to anyone. If you pass a girl and like you guys like, you know, just make eye contact for a second, don't even think, just say the first thing on your mind, "Oh, hey, I like your shirt," like, "Oh, what are you drinking?" Like, whatever. You just got to say it and go with it. You know, it's the second you like stop and you're like, "Oh shoot, what should I say?" And you kind of look away and your eyes go down. And these girls, man, they sense it. They smell the weakness. They're like dogs. Like
sharks.
You know, when dogs could sense when you're scared of them and then they like go attack you. It's just like that. So you got to go in with the attitude. Confident, cocky. Not like so cocky where you're an asshole, but just like confident.
So let me write this down. I need to come in cocky and what else?
Confidence.
Confident and with a boner, right?
I mean, it helps.
Okay. Well, I remember that show, The Pickup Artist, where, like, you know, he said, trust me, it does matter. The size does matter. So should I always be erect?
Well, that's the thing. Honestly, no matter what size you are, you should go in thinking, like, acting like you have a 12-inch dick. I mean, that's the attitude you should have.
Can I maybe, like, can I just start with, like, a 5, you know? So I have to go 12.
Well, just pretend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whew, okay. A lot of pressure.
Now, what about your physical appearance? You briefly touched on it, but, like, what are you wearing? What should you wear when you pick up a girl?
I think each person should wear what makes themselves feel most comfortable, unless it makes you look like a dork, in which case you should let me tell you what to wear. I personally like to go for, you know, like, okay, I think you guys know who Mystery is. Mystery, a lot of times I read Mystery's book and I think the guy is a genius, but I do not want to look like Mystery. I don't want to go in with that big hat and be crazy. but I do think he says some very smart things. And I like, personally myself, I like to look a little on the cooler, edgier side, because I kind of give off a fraternity look. Like, I look like a frat guy, and that's not really my personality. So I like to dress a little different than those guys who all dress the same. And
so basically, you're kind of like Spider-Man. Like, you have this great response, great power, but it's like you didn't ask for it, but, like, you happen to look like a douchey.
It's his
gift
and his
curse. You look like a douchey frat guy, is what you're telling us.
Yeah, I look like a douchey frat guy. So to offset that, I try to wear, like, you know, kind of cooler. I wear some cool, trendy jeans usually, a shirt that's not, like, plain. Like, I mean, the style is kind of changing recently, but I used to wear, like, shirts that, you know, had a lot of flowers and stuff on it. Like, I don't even, not flowers, but,
No, I think flowers are pretty.
I don't even know how to explain it. I'm sure, like, fashion people, like, know how to explain it, but I don't even know how to explain it, but I just like the way it looks. You got to dress nice, though. If you're going to go out to meet a girl, you know, I went out with this guy that, from my past, I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast.
And, like, sorry, from your past.
Whoa.
You dated him?
No, a guy I knew from the past.
Sorry.
And, like, I mean, he used to dress like a slob then, and he dresses like a slob now. He's going out with, like, sandals, like, his toenails are long, his jeans are baggy, he's, like, it's just a normal T-shirt. I mean, like, he wants to give off the impression, like, he doesn't care, but really he does. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really, really don't care, then don't care when you don't get a girl.
I really worry that this guy's, like, a big fan of yours, and he's going to listen to the podcast, and his whole life just got shattered because of you.
You got to put some time into it, is the point.
I respect it. And what about chest? How much chest are you showing?
Two buttons down.
Two buttons down? Not three?
Sometimes three. It depends on the shirt. Definitely, I mean, rarely do I just do one. I mean, usually two. Usually
you gotta
two.
Breathe.
I mean, I've done three before, but it depends on a shirt. I won't show two. I mean, I have before. Jeez, I mean,
that's a lot of chest.
I like showing the chest because that shows confidence. Like, you know, I used to not be confident, and so I used to be scared to even do two. And now sometimes I look in the mirror before I go out. I say two or three, and if I'm debating between two or three, I'm like, you know what? If I'm debating. There's no debate. I'm going three. I'm going to push myself. It's like lifting weights. You got to push yourself.
I will be fair and say, Todd, you know, he's a big guy. He definitely works out. But, like, when he came in for the engagement, you had, like, some weird, like it was kind of like a fuzzball going on in, like, right below your neck.
Oh, God.
I didn't understand why. I don't understand why it was growing like that. I kind of asked you to, like, maybe hide that for the pictures, but you were very insistent on showing it as is. So just something, like, from brother to brother, you might want to look into just replacing that little patch. Everything else is fine, but that little patch maybe needs to go.
Well, I go back and forth between shaving my chest and not shaving my chest, and I've had different people, you know, that's actually a good topic. Like, some girls want no hair in the chest, and some girls are, you know, they do not like bare chest. I mean, it's interesting. It's very interesting.
It is. I think it's a
You're
great
discussion.
You're
playing with fire doing that.
What's that?
I said he's playing with fire doing that.
Yeah.
You know, once you shave it,
you got
to
keep going. But he's
thicker and darker.
And don't forget, he's going three buttons too.
That's
well, you know, like, I'm not embarrassed to say this because I think this might help someone. You know, like, Spencer will contest. Like, a year ago, I was having a lot of problems with armpits, like sweating. I was sweating
a
lot.
Oh, God. Don't remind me.
All of a sudden, for the first time in my life, like, my shirts would always get soaked. And a lot of it I thought was because the air conditioning in my office wasn't working, so I thought it was just during work. But then I started going out and realizing, you know, it was you know, my friend's wedding, and it was, like, horrible. I didn't want to take my jacket off. So I did some research, and I found, if anyone has the problem, just real simple, there's a product called Dry Fit, I think. I think it's Dry – no, what's it called? Shoot. Anyways, if you want to email Spencer and get it, I'll send it to you. But there's a product you just put on your armpits at night, like once every other day, and it, you know, doesn't smell, it doesn't hurt. It's a clear liquid and really does the job. So lately, I found out lately, and I have more confidence to like grow out my chest hair, and like I'm not worried about like sweating profusely.
And I saw him on it. I actually saw Todd on an info commercial at 4 a.m. Advertising the product. So stay tuned if you're looking for it, because it worked. I was shocked because he used to be drenched before we even went out to dinner. I was like, oh man.
It was just it wasn't my whole life. It was just for I don't know what happened. Like, I guess I went through puberty later.
All right. Well, Todd, since we are talking about grooming, I got to ask you, what about down low?
You got to groom down low. I mean, I'm not, you don't go bare, but you got to groom. Yeah.
Did you know your brother in high school used to style his pubes?
I did not know that, and I wish I didn't.
He's talking about Lauren, to be fair. I mean, come on now.
Who are you talking about, Spencer or Lauren?
Spencer used to put a little hair gel down there.
Really? Like,
yeah, sideburns, man. You got to have a little sideburns.
Oh, you're just so disgusting.
Sorry to disappoint you, big brother.
And now, a sneak peek of part two of the Todd interview.
You know, we asked a couple of the guys, you know, what do you want us to ask Todd? User submitted question. I'm going to ask you, Todd.
I can't even explain. It just works. You just see it in the body language.
Oh my God, Todd.
And I was really serious about how Indians, like, you know, they still like wipe their ass with their hands.
Ugh. Do you mind breaking down a couple of your pickup lines?
And then right there, she can feed off that.
We thought it might be fun if you try a pickup line on an actual person. We're going to try to do something never done before in podcast history.
So she's on right now?
Yes.
And I'm just going to say,
Todd, that's so mean.
All right. This is a segment that we've had a lot of requests for, a lot of clamoring for this segment to come back. And I am pleased to say that we listen to our fans when we can, and we are happy to bring back Deviated Septum versus Hungry Bottom.
Dun, 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 dun. It's back, boys.
Spencer,
this one, yes.
Do you want to remind the listeners, since it's been a while since we've had this segment, what the idea behind Deviated Septum versus Hungry Bottom is?
Don't mind if I do, Brian. So, you know, anyone who's been on the dating profiles out there in the world, it's tough out there to find love. It's especially tough for these two groups. Jewish American princesses, who we have labeled as the Deviated Septum group, and the gay community, also the gay men community, known as the Hungry Bottoms. So, but this week's a little bit different, guys, because all of our contestants share the same common feature.
Uh-oh.
Can you know what that is by any chance?
They love Jewish cock.
Oh man, that could be right, Jeremy.
They like Jewish vagina.
That's not all right.
Damn it!
I think Brian's answer is actually closer to being right. Gay and the Jewish American princesses—they're all Jewish this week.
Oh,
hey!
Yeah.
Curveball.
So we got an interesting week. So yeah, you're gonna have to really dig this one, because now you're gonna have to think of yourself, Jeremy, in these situations.
Oh God.
You're gonna have to read these profiles and be like, man, is that something I, as a Jewish male, single male, would say?
Well, you should also say single male of questionable sexual orientation.
Well, we won't get into that yet.
Come on.
All right, you guys know the rules. I'm gonna read a profile. You guys will take turns. You'll say what you think it is. You think if this person needs a deviated septum procedure or if they're a hungry bottom, and we will go from there, and I will reveal the answer. Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
We are ready. Do we do a coin toss, or do we go alphabetical, or do we go by looks?
I'm in spinning either case, a dreidel.
I would win in all those cases.
I'm spinning a dreidel. Jeremy wins. All right,
yes.
Jeremy goes first.
Oh, come
here
on.
We go. All right. This is in my own words about me. I would have to describe myself as an adventurous and outgoing person. I am always down to try something new, hence this profile. My perfect first date. A perfect first date would be full of conversation and laughs on a patio that ends up going on for hours and neither one of us noticing how fast the time flew.
The patio goes on for hours? That doesn't seem to make sense.
Well, leave.
That's why it's got persons
lonely. That's Jews for you now, isn't it? I'm looking for... I would like to meet someone who is thoughtful, active, and willing to try new things with me. My ideal relationship. Being with someone I can call my best friend. My past relationships. Open and honest communication is the only way to go. Who am I?
Now, I just want to say real fast, you're not saying that these are all Jewish guys, right?
They're either Jewish American princesses.
Okay, just double check.
Or they're Jewish gay guys.
There's Jewish gay guys? Anyways.
Come again?
Okay, I am going to say there was two phrases that makes me think it was A, divide thetum, and it's because I can call my best friend and open and honest. Best friend is very much a jappy term. They want a guy who they can call my best friend, which means that they essentially pay for everything. And open and honest means they don't want someone to cheat on them with. So
you know, it's funny because I was going to – Jeremy, yeah. Not to interrupt you, but I was going to say that your reasoning for number two, I thought you were going to say is because you've had many Jewish girls say to you, you're not open and honest with me, Jeremy. I thought that was gonna be maybe what you were going for.
They do, and that's why Jewish women frighten me.
Okay.
So, like I said, I'm going to say divide septum, my best friend sounds like something to me that a girl would want.
I may end up going deviated septum as well, but the reason I may want to argue for the hungry bottom is a slightly different take on that statement about open and honest is the only way to be, or words to that effect, which basically, in my mind, for a lot of gay men, what that means is, hey, I'm okay with an open relationship just so long as we're clear about who we're sleeping with and what's going on. So that sounded a little possibly hungry bottom to me, but I think at the end of the day, I'm going to have to go and agree with Jeremy and say deviated septum.
I will say that's a huge plus for being gay is, and you know what, you're making a good pitch there, because when I hear open and honest, I instantly think, you know, I don't want you to cheat on me. I want you to, you know, tell me how your day was and open up, you know, your Pandora's box to me. But for you, you're saying that when gay men says open and honest, you can sleep around as long as I know who you're sleeping with. So that's not a bad selling point.
Do you want to change your answer?
No. I'm deviant septum, but I'm considering being gay now.
Oh, okay, good. Brian, Jap is your deviant septum is your final answer?
Yes.
You are both correct.
Hey!
Deviant septum. You guys are getting better at this game every day. I love it.
Is she good looking?
She's not bad. This one does have a picture, but I, you know, of course, we're not gonna reveal names or anything.
Yes,
but
yes.
Meet me offline. Maybe I'll show you. Okay, number two.
Okay.
About me. Hi everyone. I'm looking to meet people and am open to most things. I really would like to meet quality people for friendships and possibly more if the right person comes along. For right now, though, I am sure I want to meet great quality people. I love to work out, love running, swimming, etc., and love to be as healthy as possible. Though I am by no means the healthiest that I could be. I appreciate learning and living and try to combine the two where possible. I love languages, though I am only fluent in English. I know some Hebrew and Spanish and am currently brushing up on my Hebrew to hopefully become fluent soon. One of my all-time loves is theater, especially musical theater, and I definitely appreciate family. I also like to travel, though, as of late, I haven't had the time or funds to explore as much as I would like. I live on the Upper West Side and work in Midtown. I don't know if we were allowed to tell people that, but so be it. All the best to you all, person finds me. by the way, I am trying to upload photos of me and having a hard time. Stay tuned. Who am I?
Oh, he's such a hungry bottom. I mean, he's like rainbows are shooting off my screen. It's hitting me in the face. It's blinding me. This guy is so gay.
I'm going to say hungry bottom, again, for one reason is the I am having a hard time uploading photos. I honestly believe he is having a hard time, and I think he wants to show himself. And I feel like a girl wouldn't say that because if I heard that from a girl, I would say, okay, she's butt-ass ugly. But I think from a guy, I would believe him.
The other reason I think he is a hungry bottom is his fixation on health and fitness.
Oh, and you know what's interesting about that, Brian, is the quote of, and I'm taking notes, is I'm not the healthiest I could be. I never heard a girl ever say that. I've only heard a girl say I go to the gym or I'm too lazy to go to the gym. For
but
him
then a
saying
lot of times
that,
girls
yeah.
A lot of times girls, you know, they say that hoping like a guy will come to the rescue and say, you know, oh no, you're
but,
fine.
But
you
he's
great.
Saying that he does go to the gym, but he could get in better shape, which means I think this guy's probably got an amazing body. He's rocking it. So I think he's a good looking man. Maybe I am gay. I mean, we were talking about Spencer being gay. Maybe I'm gay.
I mean, I did take the leap of faith. We took it to the next level, you know. Okay, both of you say Hungry Bottom. You both are correct.
Hey!
2 for 2. You guys are pros at this. All right.
Give Jeremy about 6 months, and he'll be a pro at everything gay.
Hey.
Keep taking notes, Jeremy. All right. Number 3.
I love to see that note-taking process. So I grab the shaft, and then fondle the balls with the other hand.
But then porn comes on the computer and he just quickly throws everything away. He's like, oh, I'm back, baby. All right, number 3, in my own words, about me. Guess I'm legitimately hippie meets yuppie, although I swore I'd never claim my inner yuppie. I've had a solo criminal defense law practice since 2008 and have been teaching yoga since 2009. I also write and edit freelance and am an avid reader. Other hobbies include cooking, hiking, and bicycling. You know, all the garden variety stuff. My life and ambitions. Interested in self and planetary improvement. Leaving my mark through pursuit of Dharma. I'm not sure what that is. Brian, what is that?
Dharma?
Dharma Initiative?
D-A-R-M-A?
No, D-H. Anyway, okay. A brief history of my life.
All right,
a brief history of my life. Grew up in Dallas and did all the typical Jewish things. Let's see. Camp Chai, you name it. I went to Camp Chai. Maybe I met this person. Went off to UT in Austin, then TCU, and finally the University of Miami for law school. Not sure if I should be saying all this, by the way. Okay, continue.
I live at 444 Rodney Street.
Worked as a prosecutor for Dallas County before hanging my shingle as a defense lawyer. Also teach yoga at various joints around town. Let's see. I have a penchant for pet projects, and last year scored an executive producer credit for a compilation album of Dallas music. I'm a freelance writer. I'm pretty sure you already said that. And responsible for the health and wellness.
I don't care who he is. Who this person is, I've already checked out.
And responsible for the health and wellness section of Swag magazine.
Swag.
Also love nature and sunshine. Down for anything from camping and hiking to farming and volunteering to sunbathing and wakeboarding.
But not editing his profile.
The things I could never live without. Food,
Jesus
water.
Christ.
Food, water, oxygen, and hugs. Who am I?
Having been late since 2009.
First of all, do we want to know who this person is? But continue. Who am I?
Brian, you're up.
No, you're up.
Very proud of themselves. When you say very proud of themselves.
You're up. This is the third one.
I'm interested to hear what Brian has to say about my feedback. I'm going with deviated septum.
I only know what deviated septum is.
Because for me, yuppie. I don't see a gay man saying the word yuppie. And this girl sounds like a fat girl who is not – she just sounds like an unattractive girl who's trying to make up for the fact that she doesn't have much experience dating. So she's – overdoing it with, I do this, I do this, I do this. Honey, she's just not getting laid. So I'm going to go deviated septum. The one thing that made me think it could be a hungry bottom was Swag magazine. But I feel like Swag magazine, I feel like gay men wouldn't read that. I don't know. I'm going to stick in my gut. Deviated septum.
Okay, this guy is a total hungry bottom. The reason why, a couple things.
Please.
First, I can't imagine... He strikes me as a real blowhard. So it's not so much that he, like, I see what you're saying, like the, in a woman, this is just a really desperate woman who's ugly and is trying to build herself up to be something. This guy really thinks she's the shit. Like, he just drips self-confidence to the point of being arrogant. So throw in the fact that he's a former, district attorney or worked in the DA's office, which to me strikes me as a very masculine-esque type of role. I just get the sense that he's a guy, and I'm voting Hungry Bottom.
All right. The winner of this one is, since we finally had a debate, Jeremy wins it with deviated septum.
And is she fat?
You know, she has 3 pictures, and they all look different. and some look good, some don't look so good. She almost looks like a girl you dated, Jeremy.
Oh,
this
boy.
Is very interesting because
what's her name?
The board. I don't know her name.
What's the first? Tell me the first name.
No, the name's not on here, so I'll have to talk to my assistant that helped me compile these. But looks very similar to someone you used to go out with.
Oh God!
Very interesting.
Please, God, don't let it be with someone I went out with.
All right, so I guess congratulations to Jeremy is in order. He has won this round.
Yes.
And
Brian, do you
Deviated Septum versus Hungry Bottom?
Do you agree with my yuppie assessment? Do gay men say yuppie?
No, that I mean, honestly, I think
Jews say yuppie. We all agree on that, but I feel like
no. I mean, I've heard gays say yuppie before, so.
Okay.
But yes, this is the first time Jeremy's beat me in a contest. So, round of applause for Jeremy Katz.
Thank you, ex-girlfriend.
Now, this episode we did not have any of Spencer's dirty talk, and I know a lot of people are going to be very disappointed with that. However, I'm pleased to say that no show will be complete without a little dirty talk Hollywood with Jeremy Katz. So, Jeremy Katz, take it away.
First headline. All right, guys. So last week, the trailer for this summer's The Wolverine was released. Now, this isn't the first superhero movie to be released this summer. We also have Iron Man 3, Man of Steel, and Kick-Ass 2. So I'm curious, guys, which superhero movie are you looking forward to the most and least out of this bunch? B-Mart, you go first.
The most? I'm actually looking forward to Superman the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a huge Superman fan, and I know I talk to anybody I can about this, but trust me, listeners, go and go on Netflix if you have to find it, or rent from Redbox, or buy it on Amazon.com, go to Best Buy, I don't care where you have to go, but find the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2. It will just blow your fucking mind how much better it is than the theatrical release of Superman 2. Go see it. Run and go see it. As far as the one I'm least excited to see, I never saw the first Kick-Ass, so it has to be Kick-Ass 2. Okay. Why did they make this movie again? The sequel to this?
Spencer?
Kick-Ass is actually the one I'm looking most forward to.
It was good. The first one was really good, right?
Yeah, I saw it during Thanksgiving at my brother's place, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, like, really clever. You know, it was, like, it was a good angle on the whole superhero genre thing. And it was just, like, you know, it was funny, but it, like, it had an element of realism to it. I really liked it, and probably the least... Is The Wolverine a comic book movie, or is that about Chris Benoit, the true story of Chris Benoit? Because I'm unsure.
It's the pseudo sequel to the X Men.
Oh, okay,
Wolverine.
Thank you. Yes. For some reason, I thought it was about the rest of Chris Benoit, which I think would be highly inappropriate. So, yeah, I saw the first Wolverine movie, and it was pretty bad,
horrible.
Pretty awful, and it's a shame that someone like Hugh Jackman, who's such like a talented actor and singer, is like having to resort to this. I mean, the first one was just bad. You know, even with like Liev Schreiber, who I like as an actor, it's like they got these great actors who had to dumb themselves down. Mm-hmm. So not necessary. Have
so,
no interest in seeing Wolverine 2.
No love for Iron Man 3, which is probably gonna be the biggest out of all of them.
Kind of in the middle. I mean, it's the second one was not good. The first one was great. The second one was not good at all. And you know, it's coming off of. What's it called? All the superhero movies.
Avengers.
The Avengers. Yeah.
Avengers, right? So it's coming off the Avengers where it's like, it's probably going to be compared against that. Mm-hmm. And the Avengers was a very entertaining, action-filled movie. Not a great story, but it was just fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for them to go back now to these individual storylines. And it's like, keep spinning the wheel. Like, I've already heard about what Thor is going to have that same villain in it again. It's just like, they got to come up with something unique with it. Maybe like, Iron Man gets kidnapped in this one, setting up for Avengers 2. That would be interesting, tying it in rather than having his own spin-off movie.
And it sounds like you're not very excited for Man of Steel, which obviously Brian's very excited for.
I will always give a Nolan production a legitimate chance. I'm going to see it, mm-hmm. but I mean, the two awkward previews, at best I can put
Yeah, those previews did not look good, Brian.
They just have not been inspiring, and it's just not... I've never been a Superman guy, to be honest. He's too powerful, and his one weakness is like this thing that's just like a little green thing. And my fondest memory of Superman is when I saw the last one they made, and I see Kumar beating the shit out of Superman on what's that area called? You know, wherever that planet he took him to. It's just Kumar beating the shit out of him for like 20 minutes. I mean, that was my memory of Superman.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, this next headline we all can't relate to, but I thought it'd be entertaining. Mad Men's John Hamm apparently has been packing some serious heat.
Woo! Woo!
According to an AMC insider, Mad Men producers have asked Hamm to start wearing underwear as Little Hamm has been distracting the cast. According to our source, this season takes place in the 1960s where the pants are very tight and leave little to the imagination. John's oppressive anatomy is so distracting that they politely insisted on him wearing underwear. Guys, I believe this is what we refer to as big penis problems.
This is news to me. I didn't realize, like, isn't the whole show take place in the 60s? All of a sudden, to me, it sounds like there's one gay designer on the set of the studio that all of a sudden just decided on his own to change the pants because he knew what Ham's packing. Ham probably banged him at some point. And he probably told them, like, oh, I've done research on the 60s. You know, when we get to 64, this is when the pants change. And they just went along with it. And don't wait till we get to 69. You know, it's like, ugh. Brian, can you please tell your people to stop with this nonsense?
I think it's interesting that John Hamm is complaining about the same kind of behavior that women are subjected to in the movies all the time, the objectification of them for their pure physical attributes. John, suck it up a little bit. You can't play, you can't bitch and moan about being seen as a sexual object when being a sexual object is what made you the money that you've made in the first place. So almost kind of like, shut the fuck up and let's move on.
Is John Hamm complaining though?
Yes, he's like, I don't want people to keep on talking about this. Well, John, then fucking put on some goddamn underwear, zip your lip, and let's get to filming the show.
And since when does is that common that actors don't wear underwear? Like, what? Am I missing like a fad
going
on?
You gotta be relaxed.
To
you gotta be free. You gotta get in the character.
Do you go to work without underwear sometimes? I'm just wondering. Am I missing out?
I do not appreciate the commando look at all.
It's risky with jeans. Back in
my single days when I was, if I ever was sleeping with a guy and I would take off his pants and there was no underwear there, it was an instant turn off. I'm like, no. The only time it's acceptable to be not in underwear when I see you is either A, you're in the shower, B, you are like waking up and just in your boxers, or B, you're at the beach in swim trunks.
But Brian, to be fair, you're still banging him, right? I mean, you go, but then you're like, oh, okay, I guess so.
It's a turnoff.
No,
it's a turnoff. I'm not lying.
It's not a turnoff for them when they look up and they see you in your foggy glasses. Come on, man. Who are you? Who are you to play God?
What gives you the right? I can see the director saying that Brian's like, all right, B-Mart, we got a half chub on Hamm right now. Take care of it. What would you do to Little Hamm?
I mean, I think he's funny. If you ever listen to his interviews on like Bill Maher or something, he's actually engaging and impersonable. I just think it's kind of ridiculous that he's bitching and moaning about this. But in terms of a pure sex appeal, he doesn't really do it for me.
Really?
He's not like a guy that I'm like, ooh, John Hamm.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right, well, let's move on to the final headline of the week. I'm shocked that you wouldn't fuck John Hamm.
I didn't say that.
Okay, just checking.
I just said he doesn't really do anything for me specifically.
And Spencer, for you?
I'm in. Check me in. Sub me in, Brian, if you can't handle it. Sub me in, damn it.
He's trying to angle for double penetration with Joel and John Hamm.
Oh, man, that's a lot of cock. All right, guys, the final headline. Well, Jay Leno is at it again, that son of a bitch. Reports are that he and NBC are feuding. Shocker. This is leading to NBC planning an exit strategy for Leno, in which case Jimmy Fallon will take over the Tonight Show hosting duties.
Oh, God! Sorry.
What do we do with Jay Leno and NBC?
I mean, I'm torn because I don't really like Jay
Leno.
He's
still the number one rated guy in late night.
I know. I think his comedy is a little...
I thought Jimmy Kimmel's one.
No, he's not. He's still behind. I think Kimmel's three behind Letterman. And
I don't find Jay Leno all that funny.
No, he's not.
And
funny?
Jokes
funny
are
at all.
His jokes are very tame. It's very middle America, uh-huh. which is fine, and it, obviously it appeals to that segment, so more power to him, and I'm sure it helps him sleep warm on that big pile of cash that he's made from NBC. But at the same time, like, NBC is just, they're a bunch of dicks, and what's worse is they're clueless dicks. They have taken a once great television network and just completely run it into the ground with bad decision after bad decision and bad PR move after bad PR move, and you're taking the one kind of somewhat bright spot in your entire lineup, which is late night, and you're going to change it for Jimmy Fallon? I mean...
And Spencer, it sounds like you were making fun of Fallon before, so you don't like him?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Fallon, not a fan of Carson Daly. I really think the whole talk show industry has changed. If I'm NBC, I just get out of the talk show industry. Well, I come up with, like,
you
sketch
are not,
comedy.
They're not going to get rid of The Tonight Show. They can't get rid of The Tonight Show. It's an institution.
Well, Brian, let me bring up this point, now that Spencer mentioned
it.
It
kind of did, though.
Yeah, well, but, guys, apparently the ratings and ad revenues are almost at an all-time low. Every year it's dipping. So I got to ask you, is late-night talk shows dead? Are late-night talk shows dead?
Yeah, I mean... It's too saturated, the market, you know? And you say they're not going to have a Tonight Show. Well, they kind of did get rid of the Tonight Show when they got rid of Conan O'Brien. I mean, that was the future. I mean, Jimmy Fallon's like... I don't find Jimmy Fallon funny. I don't know. I just think they need to come up with a new topic. Rebirth the 10:30, 11:30 slot, you know? They just got to start over. Start with, like, sketch comedy or whatever, you know? Maybe have, like, a guest host for a week. Do his own shtick for a week. Something different. I mean, it's just, they're just going to bleed out over time. It'll be 7 years from now, there will be no Tonight Show on NBC. Mark it down.
I completely disagree with that.
7 years from now, there will not be a Tonight Show, 1 hour Tonight Show. That's my prediction.
Actually, now you're backpedaling. Now, so if there's a half hour Tonight Show,
I'm saying it's going to be a totally different format in 7 years from now. It's not.
But what,
gonna
what
be,
if they still call it the Tonight Show?
It won't be what you deem as a talk show thing. It won't be like that.
I don't know. I don't think that's that.
And they will change the name.
Hour of sketch comedy nightly would play either. I don't know what your big idea would be that would actually work.
Okay, here's my thing. Yeah, I see these interviews real fast. I see these interviews. They're so scripted. Mm-hmm. They're like, so I heard you had fun with your kids at this beach, and sometimes you
it's
have
funny
like
you
Bruce
ask.
Willis. Sometimes Bruce Willis is like, you know, drugged out of his mind. He totally forgets, like, what are you talking about? You know, he's like, I thought we were going to talk about the porn star I just banged. So it's like, it's so premeditated. It's just not creative. The monologue at the beginning is not, it's not interesting. And even a guy like Conan O'Brien, who I like a lot, I can't sit and watch 60 minutes of Conan O'Brien. It's just not, like, that engaging. I'd rather see Conan do a sketch comedy.
Spencer, very few people are actually watching the full 60 minutes of any of these shows. What they're doing is... historically, at least, they're getting ready for bed, they're in bed watching it, and they, like, fall asleep with it on. And so you don't need to have a captivated audience for 60 minutes. That's never been the idea.
The people that paid the money, the advertisers, they want someone to be watching for 60 minutes.
I would bet you if you looked at the cost per ad for an ad, a 30-second ad, it will be its highest at the first 15-minute block and go down incrementally from there because they know that they're getting fewer and fewer attentive eyes.
Yeah, it's going less and less. So in over time, they're not going to watch even 15 minutes. They're just going to be like, I'm going to watch that Seinfeld rerun. Oh, yeah, I've heard this. I've seen this one before, but I like it anyway.
Hey.
I disagree. I mean, I don't disagree that talk shows are, you know, very scripted and formulaic. Mm-hmm. But as long as you have, you know, celebrities that need to hawk shit, there are going to be things like The Tonight Show and The Late Show. It's just the way
it is. But, Brian, there's also more
competition,
though.
Also, the thing is, it's an incredibly cheap show for them to produce. It doesn't matter that the ad revenue is going down. It's still a really, really inexpensive show to produce.
Wait a minute. Jay Leno makes like $35 million a year. How is that cheap?
And what are the rest of the expenses for that show compared to another scripted show where you're hiring tons of writers and these kinds of shows are, comparatively speaking, within the industry, inexpensive to produce.
Yeah, Brian, but you also got more competition. You got Jon Stewart, you got Stephen Colbert, you got The Soup, you got that Andy Cohen show on Bravo. I think what you guys also are talking about is the fact that there is so much more competition. It's no longer Leno versus Letterman. It's The Soup. It's Chelsea Handler's show. So you know, there's more late night talk shows. She's horrible. I know that, but
I don't disagree that there's more competition, but that doesn't mean that these shows are going to go away. I would be shocked if in 7 years the Tonight Show is still not on the air, and probably by still with Jay Leno coming back after two or three dismissals between now and then.
Spencer, do we just take out Jay Leno? What does NBC have to do with that guy?
I think he's performing in Vegas in a couple of weeks. Let's go find him. Performs all the time.
The thing is, like, I actually would probably enjoy him more as a pure stand-up than. Because I don't find him very interesting as an interviewer, but at least some of his jokes, you know, they make you at least laugh a little bit. I mean, they're not like Bill Maher edgy, but they certainly make some people laugh. Mm-hmm. And he's been probably his funniest since he's been ripping on NBC. So, which in many ways he once again just stole Letterman's bit.
Hey Brian, what was Johnny Carson like? And that's Dirty Talk Hollywood.
Oh, you're such a dick. This, thank you, first of all, Jeremy, for Dirty Anytime. Talk Hollywood. Always appreciated. Lively conversation, as always. It has come to the time of our show where it's time to say our goodbyes. It's been an interesting and engaging show, almost hijacked by Todd. I've been a little flummoxed ever since I heard the Joel impression of me channeling, I guess, Blanche Devereaux from The Golden Girls. So
I don't know. You keep saying Joel, but it wasn't Joel. It was your heritage, your lineage.
Your people.
You have some explaining to do. Testify.
No one in my family ever sounded that Southern and flamingly homosexual.
Bring out the Martinsons.
Anyway, Spencer, any last words or
just you know, I've checked out 3 to 4 wedding venues, got some hotel rates. Looking forward to another weekend of checking out more wedding venues.
Cha-ching.
And, pitching it to Corey's parents. So it's a blast. Love
Jeremy
it.
And I are absolutely adamant that we be invited for the cake testing portion.
That's a must.
Well, the rumor is Spencer's groom's cake cookie cake tower. Woo. Hello.
Sounds delicious.
You better believe it.
All right. For Jeremy Katz and Spencer Yasmin, I am Brian Martinson, and we will catch you next time.